truth. It's a rare commodity in our culture. Even though people are craving to discover the truth, they rarely have access to it, at least in a spiritual sense. In journalistic circles, there's the hot pursuit of unveiling the truth behind political maneuverings, or the truth in advertising, or the truth about financial institutions. But today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll will specifically address the truth about life. He's venturing into the second topic in a brand new four-part Christmas series. And we'll begin by reading from Scripture together. Chuck titled his message, Jesus, the Gift of God's Truth.
Not all of the four gospel writers include the account of Jesus when he was born of Mary in the town of Bethlehem. John, for example, looks beyond that and goes even farther back in time than really any other book of the Bible, as he writes of the one who was in the beginning, which really never had a beginning, and he was with God, and he was in fact deity. And then John traces that all the way to that moment when deity became humanity. It's one of the great doctrines set forth in the between the lines of the New Testament, where undiminished deity and true humanity are blended together without being mixed or confused, the two natures in one person. He became, at his conception, the theanthropic person, theos, God, anthropos, man, undiminished deity, true humanity in one. So the closest John gets to the actual moment of birth, or at least the conception of Jesus, is in John 1. So open your Bible to this first chapter of the fourth gospel, and then be ready for a couple of other places where John emphasizes what I want to underscore today, and that is the gift of God's truth, which God gave us when he gave us Jesus. Last time we looked at the gift of grace, and today we are like a laser focusing on the truth as is personified in Jesus. John 1:14, and watch closely here in this verse for the blending of the two natures. So the Word became human. Deity became humanity, and made his home among us. He was full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Verse 16, from his abundance we have all received grace upon grace, one gracious moment after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself deity is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Let your eyes focus on that word revealed. Your Bible may read, he has explained God to us. Interesting, the word is exegete. It's the idea of expositing, explaining, letting us know who God is. That was the role of Christ when he came to this earth. The better you got to know Jesus, the better you would know the Father, because the Son explains the Father. Now, John chapter 8, look at a couple of verses with me. Verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And one other in John chapter 14. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." May the Lord open our eyes to the truth as we see it in Jesus.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download our special 12-day Christmas Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/12days. And now the message called Jesus, the Gift of God's Truth.
I want to talk with you about the rarest virtue in all of life, the truth. The truth. How seldom we hear the whole truth, or for that matter, even most of the truth. Yesterday, Cynthia and I spent the day traveling up to Norman, Oklahoma, to be with our grandson who graduated with his bachelor's degree from University of Oklahoma at the Gaylord College of Journalism and Mass Communication. Proud of his work, he's done it well, and he finished well, and it was a pleasure to celebrate with him and his family and look back over the years and realize what an accomplishment it is for this young man, Austin. While sitting in the audience, which is an unusual place for me, and I thoroughly enjoy that, I was able to listen very carefully to every word that is spoken. Sometime I'm sure I must be like a word vulture as I hover over statements made and even implications of statements, because words are my craft, and they mean everything, as well as the absence of words, which speaks volumes. Here is a college that is an excellent school and an award-winning school, and a school committed to training young men and women for the work of writing in the realm of media, journalism, the shaping of the minds of those who will read their work and those who are greatly gifted the broader will be the shaping. And so I was interested, knowing what today was going to bring in my message on the truth, I was interested to hear how much would be said about that, since we are living in a day when it is so rare and always has been. Not once was the word used. In all of the delivery, and some of the speakers were excellent, I did not hear of truth. I heard of rights, and I heard of privileges, and I heard of opportunities, and all of that as it should have been. But in a world of higher learning, you don't hear much about the truth. Living in our post-Christian era, that shouldn't surprise anyone to find an absence. As a matter of fact, I'm holding the program in my hand. They read the First Amendment, not surprisingly, which says nothing of truth. But it would be implied among those who are committed to it, but I take it from what was not said that that's not necessary. How many articles have you read that you found out later left something out that was very important to the story, and it shaped your thinking in a wrong direction because it was left out? Trust me, that was a deliberate absence of that information. I'm not picking at this school or any school. I understand, and someone said to me afterwards that at the University of Texas, I think it's the clock tower, has written in stone, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," as if the University of Texas is the model of that. Again, fine school, many graduates, excellent education, but a place to hear the truth, a place to hear it defended, you will probably not even hear it defined. You will hear it, in fact, criticized or ignored or pushed aside. You see, it is a rare thing to meet someone who has the audacity to refer to the truth. I should tell you before I go further that I'm old school. All of you who are 50 and older, sorry, but we all are in that category, we were raised differently. We heard of truth all the way through our childhood. We were disciplined on the basis of truth. We learned right from wrong. And there was a clear line of demarcation. Interestingly, when you're raised with that, there's no doubt when you've crossed it. But if you're not raised with it, and if it isn't driven home often and with integrity by people of truth, it's fuzzy. So you are free to write or say without being all that concerned about the truth. I remember when I was being interviewed as a possible jurist. I was being looked at for jury duty. Didn't happen long, and when I was interviewed, I didn't last long. I just see things differently, I guess. I remember on one occasion the attorney made the comment that this case is not really about the truth. This is a case about the law. Anybody have a problem with that? Boom! Interesting. Mine was the only hand that went up. Not that I'm some kind of major model of purity. I'm certainly not. But I don't agree with that. Now, if you're an attorney, don't write me. Don't corner me. I understand what he was saying. I just don't agree with it. Last time I checked, the statue that represents what is right is blindfolded. And there's a scale where hanging in balance is right and wrong. In other words, it's an issue of truth, which to me should shape law. But it doesn't. Not now. I fully admit to being naive, and there's a reason I did not pursue the world of an attorney. And I have close friends who are attorneys. Notice how I'm backpedaling. I love TV programs about cases that are in court and all. I talk to them all the time. You know you're getting old when you yell at the television. She's guilty. Or lighten up. You know how you'll do things. Anyway. I love the truth. I love it. I find security in it. It isn't always easy. And it is often difficult to tell a person the truth. But I will, to the best of my ability and knowledge, I will never lie to you. You see, I have to live with me, and deceiving is not very fulfilling. It's, in fact, wrong. I was first made aware of how rare truth is in an objective way when I read a book back in the early 90s called The Day America Told the Truth. James Patterson and Peter Kim teamed up together with an extensive questionnaire, which they sent out, get this, and they promised anonymity to all who would respond. Your name will never be used. We will hold it in absolute confidence. And therefore, the promised anonymity caused many people more than normal to respond because they were able to let their defenses down. It is a shocking book because of what is revealed. I'll cut to the chase and I'll save us time by pointing out a few samples of what I read. No less than 91% of Americans lie regularly. 1 in 5 cannot make it through one day without a lie. Most people lie to their parents. By the way, the age factor is not an issue. It would range from late teens all the way up to older years in the 80s. So of all the people sampled, 86% lied regularly to their parents. 75% lied regularly to friends, even close friends. 69% lie regularly to their spouses. Some of you hearing my words right now are in that category. And your marriage hangs on the secrecy of your lie. You've not told the truth, and you're counting on the lie to hold up, having lied to your partner, quite likely, if you're among the 69%. I found out more. Listen to these facts and figures. Men lie more often than women. Ages 18 to 24 lie the most, 50%. Those who are older, 65 and older, lie the least, 19%. Liberals lie more than conservatives. It's in the book. You think I'm going to lie today about what I'm saying here? Most American workers admit to goofing off approximately 7 hours per week, and half of our workforce admits to calling in sick when they feel perfectly fine. Well-known men and some women have been fired because they have been now suspected of wrongdoing, mainly in the realm of their sexual lives. Well-known politicians, newscasters, athletes and coaches, teachers and preachers, celebrities and priests, investors and entertainers. It seems as though there's no protected category or career. It's caused some of us who don't know who's telling the truth to wonder who we can trust, which is part of the battle of so many lies. When you seek the truth, you are confused when you come to the realization most don't tell it. His word is truth. Listen to me. Not one lie. Not one deceptive phrase. Not one. That is why my life is spent poring over and committed to the declaration of this book. Because I know I am not reliable, being human, but his word is truth. And he who gave us his word is truth.
There's much more Chuck Swindoll needs to say about today's topic. He's titled his message, Jesus, the Gift of God's Truth. To hear any portion again, you can find downloadable audio files or purchase CDs when you go to insightworld.org. Now please keep listening because Chuck is in the studio with us to share a personal comment he's prepared for our radio family. But first, let me encourage you to join us Sunday morning for the worship service online. For the first time in Insight for Living's history, you can take a seat in the worship center to hear and see Chuck deliver his Sunday morning message. Though this is a brand new way to connect, already thousands of viewers are joining us every Sunday morning. We want you to benefit as well. You'll find all the details online at insight.org/Sundays. Well, we're just about ready to close another year of ministry together. And with December 31st just around the corner, we're calling on you to join us by generously giving back what you've received in 2018. Chuck?
Thanks, Dave. When someone truly follows Jesus, the outcome is demonstrated in the personal virtue of generosity. You heard me right. Generosity. I know my statement is true because I've spent my entire adult life shepherding a flock of generous sheep who give joyfully from a heart of gratitude to God on a regular basis. As we approach the final days in the year, I'm calling on you to be among those generous givers. As you give generously to Insight for Living Ministries in a manner that reflects your heart, Paul said it best to the Corinthian church. Paul wrote, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." In the original Greek language, the word cheerfully actually means with hilarity. Isn't that a surprise? God loves a hilarious giver. I love the mental picture this statement creates, watching church attenders laugh out loud as the proverbial plate is passed down the row. As we approach the end of another ministry year, please ask God to guide you. Invite Him to prompt your spirit on what amount you can cheerfully give. I can assure you of this, that whatever amount you choose, God will leverage your cheerful gift to bring a smile to the face of all those who encounter God's indescribable gift, Jesus, seen in Scripture as the light of the world. You see, when you give a year-end donation, you're not giving to us. You're giving through us. Insight for Living Ministries is merely the conduit through which you give in order to touch the lives of others. In this respect, you have a ministry all your own, from your hand of giving to their hearts of receiving. Now more than ever, people are desperate for grace and truth, love and hope. This Christmas, you can help them unwrap this awesome gift of Jesus by donating generously to Insight for Living Ministries. I'm counting on you to give cheerfully and out of gratitude for God's provision. So in advance of your giving, I want to say this. Thank you so much for giving generously and with hilarity.
And here's how you can respond to Chuck Swindoll right now. Perhaps the quickest and most efficient way to give is by going to insight.org/donate. As another option, you might want to simply send a text. Just text the word INSIGHT to this easy-to-remember number, 555-888. Again, type the word INSIGHT into your text box to this number, 555-888. You can also give us a call right now and speak to one of our friendly ministry representatives as well. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or give a donation online by going to insight.org/donate. Join us next week when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Jesus, the Indescribable Gift, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Jesus, the Gift of God's Truth, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.